This is Tweetminster at the British Computing Society Web Awards, MP Web Awards, talking with Kate Russell, who is hosting the event. Kate Russell, obviously BBC correspondent, journalist, expert on social media and the way that politicians are engaging with technology. What's your take on today's event, and what are the plus points, what are the down points?
Well, it was very interesting to hear how much of an overall improvement there were in... I mean, we made a joke at the beginning about having to review 600 MPs' websites, and, you know, the whole audience groaned. But actually, it's a massive improvement from the last MP Web Awards. Accessibility is, you know, still a problem. I've just been speaking to Robin from AbilityNet, and, you know, the winners that won didn't win because they were outstanding. They won because they were the not the worst out of all of them. And that's the problem, I think, is actually getting a more inclusive and enabling set of websites from the MPs. But engaging in social media, I was so glad to see that they've actually got a separate award this time. I mean, you look at the way that social media has changed the nature of elections even, you know, and the last general election before this one, Twitter didn't exist. You know, and now politicians are having to pay real attention to what is going on Twitter. And it's giving the audience, or giving the voters rather, a voice. And, you know, no longer do you feel like you're battering your voice up against a faceless brick wall surrounding the Houses of Parliament. You can actually get inside the Houses of Parliament, directly to the eyes and the ears of the people who can help make the difference that you want them to make. And social media is what's allowing that to happen.
Kate, thank you. The subject of accessibility, I'm speaking with Robin Christofferson, who's head of accessibility for AbilityNet, is the leading charity in accessibility and development for Accessibility and the Disability Discrimination Act in the online environment. Robin, today the number one issue was highlighted where MP websites are falling down is in the realm of accessibility. Can you tell us more about that?
Absolutely. The school report is could do better, I think. And I mean, there is room for improvement, although we are moving in the right direction. I mean, last year there was a very, very, well, vanishingly small number of MPs' websites that you could call accessible. This year it's a slightly higher number, and that's augmented by the fact that websites this year are more functional, they're slightly more contentful, updated more often, which means that the task of accessibility is that little bit harder as well. So we're actually, you know, quite encouraged that more websites have met that sort of base level of accessibility. Now, how does that transfer into the bigger picture? Well, it's been a legal requirement to have an accessible website since 1999. Out there in the big wide world of the internet, less than 10% meet the base level of accessibility, which is single A compliance. There's also double A and triple A, and to put it in context, the law says you should be double A. There's not a single .gov.uk website that's even single A out there, to my knowledge. And in the commercial sector, maybe less than 10% are single A. Very, 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 very small, maybe like 0.1% or even double A. And when you bear in mind that, you know, that's the sticks, but the carrots are actually far more significant than that. If an MP had an accessible website, then its search engine optimization would go right up. Its potential audience, you know, will find the site much better to use. All the people with disabilities are going to be able to access the content, and they're going to be happy voters. And obviously out there in the commercial world, you know, in the retail world, we've done work with organizations like Legal & General. When they relaunched their website with accessibility in mind, their life insurance sales online went up by 90%.
So, Robin, on that point, one point I heard raised at another accessibility conference some time back was the largest non-sighted user of the internet is in fact Google's search algorithm. So people don't understand just really how important it is from a commercial point of view to make their information this accessible, and for politicians that must be very challenging. What can you do to change that from your side in the voluntary sector?
Well, through award ceremonies and initiatives such as this, because it's all about awareness, really. You know, MPs are still scanning in their documents, saving them off as PDFs, but they're just images. There's no text there at all. And yeah, Google's not going to touch those. And anyone who wants to be able to access that, you know, content, for example, I'm blind myself and I need to have that spoken back to me, that's not going to happen if it's just a big picture of some words. So, you know, those are the sort of things. It's lack of awareness. And even though we've been out there with this message for many, many years now, you know, people are still very, you know, in the foothills of this massive learning curve that is accessibility, but the benefits far outweigh the you know, the efforts that you should put in. And if you build it in from the start, then you're not going to have to patch it in the end and potentially fall short of the goal of the requirement of accessibility. If you think about it just from square one, they reckon 2-5% additional build and design costs when you factor in accessibility from square one.
Robin Christofferson, thank you very much.
Thanks.
So, Kate, back to you. You've had a chance to speak to people in the room. You've got a good overview of where you think technology is going for MPs. What can we expect next year? What are they going to be giving awards for next year?
Well, I think maybe next year will be a bit ambitious, but what I would like to see is the next movement forward is actually an award for mobile connectivity and giving people the possibility of accessing them and being part of the big debate and conversation around politics from wherever they happen to be, regardless of what machine they've got, what connection they've got. And, you know, moving on from that, perhaps even augmented reality, you know, perhaps the first MP who manages to combine an augmented reality situation with political information delivery, that's where technology and websites and mobile is going. So I'd really like to see an award for the best mobile augmented reality political app. That would be great.
Kate, thank you very much indeed.